Dear congregation, unstoppable, self-destroying, have you ever seen someone in your family or among your friends or neighbor who was so bent on their own destruction that from week to week things got worse and worse, perhaps in a web of addiction, down the path of ruin he or she went? It's hard to see that in someone else. It's hard to see that in our nation at this time and for some decades for sure, bent on its own destruction. But it's something when you see this in yourself by the light of God's holy word. And it is our prayer that with the Lord's help, that one or more would see what we all need to come to see, and that is our deep, deep ruin. And so we have a word from the Lord here, and our theme with our Lord's help, based on our text, which you can find in Hosea 13, verse 9, these words. Hosea 13, verse 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. Our theme with the Lord's help is simply these words. It is not well. It is not well. We'll see, first of all, see the sinner's ruin. Secondly, the needed focus. And thirdly, the Savior's rescue. It is not well. The sinner's ruin, the needed focus, the Savior's rescue. Congregation, the words of our text come from the prophet Hosea. He was sent to the people of Israel in the 8th century B.C. during the reign of King Rehoboam II, king of Israel. A prosperous time economically, a disastrous time morally. The people of Israel had departed from the Lord. They had departed from the house of David, and they had set up calves in Dan and Bethel and forsook the true worship of the Lord. And step by step, this nation, so highly privileged, got themselves into deeper ruin, spiritual and moral bankruptcy. And yet the Lord raised up prophets, and one of those prophets was the prophet Hosea, to call the people back to himself. And Hosea's life was a message. It was a sign of how gracious the Lord was, how low he would stoop for his wayward people. Hosea was called to marry Gomer, who would prove herself to be an adulterous wife, turning to other lovers. And Hosea had to endure this and all that was associated with it as a sign, as a message of what the Lord had to endure from his wayward, his adulterous, his sin-sick people. And like the Lord, Hosea had to woo his wife, his bride, back to himself, patiently, persistently, at great personal cost to himself. And he did so through the message of sin and salvation, pointing out to the people the sin that was in their hearts, deeply rooted there, but also pointing to the love, the gracious, the self-sacrificing love that there was in the heart of God for a wayward people. Now, Israel hadn't always been so bent on her own ruin. In fact, in verses 1 through 8, Hosea paints the whole picture of past, present, and future. And he starts by saying that there was a time when Ephraim was in his right place. And Ephraim here is a word for the whole of the northern tribes. Ephraim was one of the tribes, but one of the most prominent tribes. And here Ephraim is being used for the whole northern kingdom. When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. With other words, when the fear of the Lord governs our hearts, our minds, and our lives, then a nation, then a people will exalt themselves. How we need the fear of the Lord, to fear to sin against the Lord, to tremble before His majesty, to have within our hearts this holy reverence for Almighty God, the God of the universe, the God who has created all things by the word of His power and so upholds them that not without His will anything happens. Oh, my dear friends, we need that. When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. You see, congregation, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people, as Proverbs 14:34 says. And sin, Israel did. After a half of a verse devoted to Ephraim's trembling, we read, but when he offended in Baal, he died. When he offended in the worship of an idol, Israel died. Idolatry is all around us. Idolatry is the path that sinners go, whereby they trade the worship for God with the worship of stuff. Gold, silver, wood, stone, a lifestyle, whatever it is, that will perish with the using. Something you cannot take into the grave with you. Something that you may give your whole life to obtain. And yet in your last day, you must relinquish it all. O fool, the Lord says to one, what shall happen with all that you've acquired? And it's idolatry to set your heart on anything or any creature, because it is for God that we have been made. And the heart is indeed restless until it finds rest in the Lord. Oh, my dear friend, you who are laboring, you who are slaving away to obtain and get rich and to accumulate and acquire and get more and more and more, have you considered what you will do when that day comes when you will leave it all behind? When nothing can go with you into the grave except your soul. And what will you give in exchange for your soul? And my dear friends, the way of idolatry is hard. It is always downhill. Young people, let me speak to you honestly. The world dangles before you. All its goods, its lifestyle, its houses, and everything, its automobiles, all the stuff that you want. When you're honest, you see it. These expensive cars you see driving down the road, and you want it. And you think of getting rich in order to have these things. And then you'll be able to get this. Or maybe it's a new phone. These things that they dangle in front of you, the latest and greatest, so much better than last year's phone. And you work and you work and you work until you open this box and you hold this thing in your hand. And in a few weeks, a few months, it'll be replaced by something else. And you're addicted. You need more, more and more. The glitz and glamour of this world has your heart. Oh, my friend, wake up. The way of the idolater is ruinous. Hosea says, therefore they shall be as the morning cloud and as the early dew that passes away. Israel wouldn't last long. Like the morning dew that on a hot day like we've had is gone at 8, 9 in the morning. You think you'll make it all the way. You think you'll have a long life, 90, 100. You'll have all these days to enjoy all that you're laboring. And you're giving your soul to that which perishes. Verses 4 through 8, Hosea speaks about how the Lord had been so merciful to Israel, bringing them out of slavery, bringing them out of the bondage that they had been in, leading them indeed through the wilderness, but he had been there, supplying their every need, giving them manna from heaven, allowing them to eat angels' food, as it were, at his table. He was with them in the fiery pillar, the cloudy pillar by day. But when they filled themselves, when they were filled and their heart was exalted, they forgot the Lord. Well, my friends, do you see your own picture here in Israel? Do you not see how every heart, apart from God's grace, is self-ruinous? It ruins itself. You know, young people, sin is not innocent. Sin kills. The smallest sin kills. It ruins us, our souls, our minds, our bodies. And it's like an addiction. The sinner needs more. He tells one little lie, but by this he sins, and then he needs more lies to cover up his lies. And lying he will do. He's bent on deceiving others and himself. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. And notice how the Lord puts it here. The Lord doesn't say, you know, things are quite bad. Things are really getting worse and worse. No. Thou hast destroyed thyself. You're beyond repair. Whoever you are, sinner, you have destroyed yourself. In other words, there is no hope from your side. It isn't a matter of you, sinner, now just amending your life, making up for lost time, refocusing yourself. It's not just like a boat on the water that has a little hole that might be growing bigger, but if you work hard enough and you take a pail, you can get rid of the water. And if you're inventive enough and you have what you need, you can plug this hole and all will be well. That's how people look at sin in their lives by nature. The world does this, but the church does as well. People look at sin as, yes, a problem and not good, but don't tell me I can't change some things. Don't tell me I can't correct my ways. I can't turn around. I can't use the rest of my days to at least push back on this flood of water that's coming in upon my lives. That's the worst thing about the sinner, is he thinks that he can make a change in his course correction. But the Lord says it the way it is. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. It's not a little hole in the boat. It's total shipwreck. You're bobbing up and down in the waves, shipwrecked, with no way of saving yourself. A few more breaths and down you go. Our nation, for the most part, has no idea of how it has ruined itself, how it has destroyed itself by throwing away prayer in schools, teaching its young people that prayer isn't important, prayer isn't necessary. The Bible has to be kept out of schools. The Bible has to be kept out of public life. It's okay if you want to have a Bible or read a Bible by yourself, but don't speak about it. You tell young people that, you tell children that. Their own hearts are not going to reach for the Bible. You try to change the language of one nation under God. Yeah, at some point you can't say that anymore because you're not living like that. You've taken God out of everything that matters. When you read the history of Israel, you're reading the history of every nation given over to itself, including our own. My friend, closer to home, how is it with you? How is it with your soul? Your never dying soul. Don't you see the finger of the Lord coming up out of this text? And pointing right to you, thou hast destroyed thyself. Look at it. Look at your week. Look at your month. Look at the past year. Look at it not by your own view, not making excuses, not pointing to others. But look at it as the Lord would see it. Have you not yet come to your senses? Are you still like the prodigal, has still quite a bit of money to spend with friends who are still around you? You haven't reached bottom. And you don't realize that this word is true of you. Thou hast destroyed thyself. Thou hast done foolishly. Thou art the man. Well, my friend, would to God he would make you to know in your soul's experience, sin kills. I've ruined myself. My condition is desperate. And I am to blame. Because if that is so, my dear friend, if you learn the message of my text, it is not well. Then you'll soon hear something else. As we see in our text, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thy help. Matthew Henry has called this verse a plank thrown to the shipwrecked. A plank thrown to the shipwrecked. Like we just saw, sinners have shipwrecked themselves. But here is the difference. In me. The original emphasizes that. It puts it right there in bold, as it were. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. In me is thy help. In other words, Israel, don't look elsewhere for help. Don't think that you can help yourself. Don't think others can help you. I alone am your true help. And the Lord goes on right after our verse to explain it. I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities and thy judges, of whom thou saidst, give me a king and princes? In other words, Israel, you've constantly been looking to others. You asked a few hundred years ago for your king, for another king. You didn't want the house of David to rule over you. You didn't want my appointed king. You didn't want my Messiah, my king. You wanted a king like other nations. You wanted to be like the people around you. You wanted to be like your friends. While all day long I stretched out my hands and said, here is your king, O Israel. Here is your Messiah. Here is your Savior. You said, I want something else. And still after all, the Lord comes and he says, in me, O Israel. And that's not all. Because even though Israel had wanted its own king, and it got its own king, Jeroboam, and those that descended from him, when those kings weren't enough, then Israel wanted other nations, and they went to other nations. They went to Egypt and Assyria to help them. And if they were threatened, then once it would be Egypt, and another time it would be Assyria. You see that this desire for help, when it is not satisfied in one creature, we look to another creature. We come up with our own devices and our own solutions. And that's in all of us. When God works by his Holy Spirit, he teaches the sinner to say something. Have you learned this? Ashur shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Hosea 14, verse 3. In other words, we're going to stop looking for help with others, with other nations, with people, with man whose breath is in his nostrils, with creature help. We won't ride on horses. We're not going to rely on the means that the nations rely on, horses, chariots, human warfare, in order to get ahead. When once we come to that realization, Ashur shall not save us. Oh, my dear friends, then there's hope. And then the words of my text are such a miracle. In me is thy help. That's what that prodigal in that far off country learned. When he was there in the mire among the pigs, and he didn't even have that which could satisfy his soul. Then in his mind, he went back to his father's house. He went back to the me of the father in me. And he wondered, why had it taken so long? And why had it been so long until he had thought of his father? He came to his senses. He said, lo, the servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. He began to be in want. Oh, that our nation would realize that. Oh, that America would be like the prodigal son and wake up and realize that we are in the miry pit of sin and shame. We have brought upon ourselves a famine of the greatest order. We would realize that we are in want spiritually and at every level. And that in our hearts we would turn back to the God who has given us everything. God of our fathers. In me is thy help. I wonder, congregation, if you know this me, this in me. Perhaps there's a soul saying, listen, I know I've been down that path of human helpers. I've looked long and hard, years, for help, but all on my terms, for solutions that still honored me because I thought them out or honored the creature. I've been there. But can it truly be that God would help me, who have sinned so long, who have sinned so deep, who've turned aside from Him and His many calls? Yes, I sat in church months, years, but I never faced reality. Many told me I destroyed myself, but I thought I could manage. I thought that was other people, but that didn't count for me. Or my conscience would convict me that, yes, I was on a path of self-ruin, but I would wake up the next morning and my idols would be right there. I'm so used to living for them, so used to feeding upon them. I went back to the mire. I went back to the sawdust. Children, what would you say about a man or a woman who's eating sawdust? Just scoops it all up and tries to swallow it and eat it. You'd look at that and you'd say, that person is mad. That person's gone crazy. Eating sawdust, that doesn't satisfy you. Run from sawdust. You don't want even one speck of it in your throat, in your mouth. That's awful. But that's what sinners do. That's what idolaters do. That's what you and I do. We eat sawdust instead of the pure, refreshing water that God gives in the gospel, that quenches thirsty souls. The bread of life that is in the Lord. Wow, we need that radical change, that life-changing focus in me. The God against whom we have sinned. Oh, that God would work that by His Word, by His Holy Spirit in your life. Also, you, child of God, we need this again and again, don't we? Because we have a mind that is at war with we have a law that is at war with the law of our mind, bringing us into captivity again and again. Even after received grace, we still go to the idols of this world. We have this pull inside of us, like this magnetic, gravitational pull to stuff, to man, to death. That's what it is. A pull towards death and destruction. Oh, how we need to be delivered from that. And the only help, the only helper is this Lord who calls Himself here me. He comes so close. Don't you see it? He doesn't say, in the Lord who transcends the heavens is your help. It's true. But in me, do you see He's right there? He's so close. In me is your help. The Lord has stooped so low. Here in the person of Hosea, so low to his wayward Gomer. There he is, right in the midst of her death and destruction. There he's come. He calls himself me. You want to hear more about that? But after we sing, 365, all the stanzas. From the depths my prayer ascendeth unto God on high. 365, all the stanzas. Thank you. the Savior's rescue. Dear friends, are there more glorious words that you can think of than these words, "In me is thine help"? Isn't that the very thing we cry when we're drowning? Help! And the Lord stands right there and he says, "In me is thine help." What a full word. Everything is contained in it. This is the same word that you read of in Genesis 2 when the Lord made Eve as a helper to Adam. A partner. And though we have forsaken the Lord and left him times without number, we have such an adulterous heart, such an idolatrous heart, the Lord, like Hosea, comes to his Gomer people and he says, "I'm still your help. I'm still there to help in matters of life, this life, and a better. Your help. I'm faithful to my vows. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, though you've all sinned against me. Still my love, my grace abides. I'm your helper in the strife." Do you know of greater mercy than that? Of the Lord who could come to us in our sin and say, in me is your judge. In me is your condemnation. In me is your death. He comes and he says, "There's help with me. I've laid help upon one who is mighty to save." And if that isn't wonder enough, notice this. "In me is thine help." Thine, your help, so perfectly suited to you. You self-destroying sinner. Many people, when they hear the gospel and they're convicted of sin and they see their wretchedness, they think, you know, this must be for someone else. This can't be for me. How do I know this is for me? This is for the elect. This is for people who have reached this or experienced that. Oh, my friend, set that all aside. Beware of those things. They are things Satan sets in front of you in order for you to go into hiding and to keep the gospel at bay, because the Lord says to self-destroying sinners, "In me is thine help." Your help, you ruined sinner. You don't need something from your side to earn this help, to even make you ready for this help. No, it's all in me. In me is thine help. If it's help, it's in me. It's all in me. And notice how he says here, not just help and thine help, but in me is thy help. He doesn't just say here, "I am your help." That would be glorious enough. "Or with me is your help," but "in me, in my heart, in my love, in me, in my very heart, there is that compassion, that love for self-destroying sinners." He says this in chapter 11, two chapters back. He says, "How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How can I give you up to the self-destruction that you are choosing? Mine heart is turned within me, inside of me. My repentings are kindled together." It's in the Lord. But notice how that is an invitation to not stay away from the Lord, to not stay at arm's length from the Lord, to not keep him at a comfortable distance. In me is thy help. You know, if Hosea said that to Gomer, Gomer, in me is your help, that is an invitation for Gomer to embrace Hosea and come back to him. It's in him. It's with him. It's inside of him. And so it is with the Lord, congregation. The Lord stoops so low this morning. He comes to the self-destroying people of Providence Reformed Congregation, whoever you are. He comes, and he comes so low. And he says, it's not just with me, it's inside of me. From the never begun eternity, in bowels of mercy, I've loved you. I've loved you. Not because you're great, not because of anything in you. You've ruined yourself. But in me, in my heart, there is everything that you ruined sinner need. And oh, my dear friends, can you then not see the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ come up in these very words before your eyes? In me. How can it be that God, the holy, the high, the eternal God, the immutable God, the God who is from everlasting to everlasting, the God who says that he is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity and who cannot look upon sin. How in all the world can there be in him and in his heart help for a sinner like me? It can, because in the fullness of time, forth from the bosom of God, from the heart of God, came one in my place, in the sinner's place. There, outside, no room for him, no room in the inn. Foxes have holes, but the Savior has no room. Out, out, out he must go. You see, we have no room for him, and he's come to make room for himself. And he comes and he says, in me is thy help. And he comes so low. But is this a solution for my self-destroying heart? Someone asks. You know, that's a fierce thing. You know, this pull towards self-destruction, it is strong. Look at verse 14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. You see, congregation, in the gospel, there's not half a solution or a three-quarter solution. There is a perfect 100% solution for self-destroying sinners, because in God, in Jesus Christ, through the application of the Holy Spirit, there is a God who has come face to face with death, that very death that you and I choose each and every day apart from grace. He's come not just face to face with death. He gave himself on the cross of Calvary over unto death in order to destroy death and to free those who were under the power and the sway of death, self-ruined and self-destroying sinners. And this Christ congregation, he came as the destroyer of death And for people who are bent on self-destruction, there is no more beautiful words. I can't destroy death. Death comes to me. I'm powerless. No man can stay the power of the grave. My dear unconverted friend, when death comes knocking on your door, you won't have an extra second, much less a minute. You can't hold death at bay. The soul that sinneth, it must die. But here, in his word, so near, so close, so low, lower than the sinner himself or herself, the Lord comes and says, I will be death's destruction in the gospel, in my mediator, whom you have despised, times without number. You've wanted your own king. You wanted to be king yourself. Oh, my friends, realize your ruin. Now, your heart is so bent on ruin, and it will be, until there is no more reversal. But notice at the same time how in the Lord there is such abundant rescue. If our ruin is great, the rescue is infinitely greater. Are you here this morning, wounded on the battlefield of life? You realize you've done it all to yourself. My friend, there's one walking among us this morning who says, in me is thy help. Truly, it's in him. No beggar who cries to him. He doesn't close his ears. He's right there. He binds up our wounds and gently leads. He stands in our place. He reckons his righteousness to the convicted sinner. And my friend, the rescue is so great. It takes all of life to taste and to see that God is good, that God is a helper for self-destroying people. And it will take all of eternity to know it in truth. In eternity to reckon with the fact that I had destroyed myself. I would be in hell just now, were it not for this God, this me, this Christ, this gospel. I should have been there, and now I'm here. How can it be? All because of gospel help in this God who stoops so low. Oh, my unconverted friend, what do you have against this God? What do you have against him that you go on in your sin? Perhaps there's a despairing sinner here this morning. Perhaps a young person who says, listen, I've destroyed myself. I've gone too far. Last week it wasn't too far, but this week it is. I've destroyed myself. There's no more hope for me. My friend, notice how the Lord says, O Israel, you have destroyed yourself. He doesn't say, You're on the verge of destroying yourself. No, you've destroyed yourself. It's done. It's accomplished. It's finished. You have destroyed yourself. But in me is your help. Can the Lord not come? Can the Lord come any closer than that? Perhaps there's someone here in bondage to a great chain of addiction. And you know what it is. And you say, listen, I understand what you're saying. I have destroyed myself, but I cannot change. I've tried, and it doesn't work. I've tried times without number. Oh, but my friend, do you hear what you said? I cannot change. That's what you said, right? I cannot change. No, that's true. You can't change. You won't change. But here is a God. And if his word means anything, then his word help is everything. Because he's God. The God who lives. Jesus Christ, who's conquered death and the grave. He is the same yesterday and today. But is it for me? Oh, my friend, be so very careful not to call God a liar, which is what you do when in the face of this gospel you say, but this can't be for me. My friend, realize you're calling God a liar, because he comes and he says, you're self-destroyed and me is your help. Let each and everyone know that if you resist this gospel, you resist your last hope and your last help. It's like a train that's heading off a cliff into destruction. And there's one last stop. Thomas Boston said, the gospel is the last stop on the way to hell. Oh, my friend, get off this train of self-destruction. In me is thy help. The gospel is true. God is true. And let all be liars if they don't come under this truth. Prove him today, my dear friend. He is a helper, true, now and to eternity. Amen. What tongue can tell thy mighty deeds? What love was in thine heart from all eternity for wretched sinners of Adam's race, self-destroying, self-destroyed? Dear Lord, that sums up all of our lives, from the youngest even to the oldest. From our side, self-destroyed. Help us to say it. Help us to own it. And may we experience that in thee is such bountiful help. World without end. All in Christ. Go with us, Lord. Help none of us to continue on our own ways. Break us by thy love. And it shall be well, come what may. Dismiss us under thy hands of blessing. Bring us under thy word this evening. And help us to learn not only how it is not well, but what it is when it is well. We ask this all in Jesus' name and for his sake alone, the pardon of every sin. Amen. Our closing psalter is 401, 2, and 3. Trust not in man who soon must die. 401, 2, and 3. grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.